Well, a very good afternoon to you. This is Ian Skelly here on Radio 3 to guide you through the afternoon today. In a couple of minutes, we're off to Aldborough to the festival to hear music by Gabrielli and Schutz in the early music show. That's after a summary of the news this lunchtime. It's read by David Cornett.
Police in Tyneside believe that a gunman who was wanted for a double shooting yesterday has struck again, attacking a uniformed police officer. He's said to be in a critical but stable condition in hospital. Detectives believe the attack is linked to yesterday's shootings near Gateshead, which left a man dead and his girlfriend critically ill. Ministers are being asked to prepare plans for a 40% cut in their budgets. The Treasury says departments are unlikely to be asked to make such severe savings, but the exercise will inform future decisions. Labour says the news will raise fears about the future of frontline services and jobs. Five police officers were injured during several hours of disturbances in Belfast last night, in which stones, fireworks and petrol bombs were thrown. It was the second night police have come under attack while trying to separate rival loyalists and nationalist factions. A former soldier who was jailed for corruption in Afghanistan has been cleared of bribery. An appeal court in Kabul has acquitted Bill Shaw, who worked as the manager of a security firm. Mr. Shaw, who's 52 and from Leeds, insists that he paid officials a fine to recover two vehicles which had been impounded by the Afghan intelligence services. General David Petraeus has formally taken command of NATO forces in Afghanistan. Speaking in an official ceremony in Kabul, he said the war against the Taliban and other militants had reached a critical moment. He's replacing General Stanley McChrystal, who was sacked by President Obama last month after mocking US officials in a magazine interview. Research has revealed that only 18 teachers have been struck off for incompetence in the UK over the past 40 years. The BBC's Panorama programme has uncovered evidence that instead of being removed from the register, incompetent teachers are allowed to resign and they then go on to work at other schools. The weather, wet and windy in Scotland and Northern Ireland, though it will become mostly dry in Northern Ireland by the evening. Wales and Northern and Western England will also be windy with rain for a time. Southeast England will stay dry but become rather cloudy. BBC News and Weather at 2 minutes past one.
David, thank you. Well, later this afternoon on Radio 3, Radio 3 Requests wraps itself in the Stars and Stripes, an American-infused edition for the 4th of July in an hour from now at 2. And later, Stephen Johnson explores the architecture of one of Tchaikovsky's best-loved compositions, his Piano Concerto No. 1. That's in Discovering Music at 5. But now it's time for the early music show, which will be introduced by Lucy Skeeping after this glorious motet by Giovanni Gabrielli.
Thank you. applause there for Giovanni Gabrieli's monumental four-choir motet, Omnes Gentes Plaudite Manibus, so clap your hands, all ye people, performed there by the ensemble La Nuova Musica as part of the 2010 Alborough Festival. It was written to be heard on special feast days in the gloriously reverberant interior of St Mark's in Venice, where Gabrieli was principal organist during the 1580s. That performance, though, was given in the more intimate setting of Holy Trinity Church in Blythburgh in Suffolk, a magnificent building situated in a picturesque rural churchyard that dips down through a narrow brambly path to the estuary. In fact, Blythburgh was one of the earliest Christian sites in East Anglia. There's been a church there since the year 654, and the current one dates back more than 1,000 years. It's affectionately known as the Cathedral of the Marshes, and it's been a regular concert venue since Benjamin Britten spotted its excellent acoustics back in 1962. We'll be hearing highlights from La Nuova Musica's concert throughout today's early music show, mainly works by Heinrich Schütz. But before we get on to the main course, here's a little starter, a Capriccio by Johann Fehrdank, a musician who worked for Schütz at the Electoral Court in Dresden, first as a chorister and then as a player of that gentle-sounding early trumpet, the cornet.
Thank you.
Cornet players Gawain Glenton and Sam Goble taking centre stage there in that Capriccio by Johann Fierdank, part of a concert given by the ensemble La Nuova Musica at the 2010 Aldborough Festival. The group was only formed back in 2007, but it's already establishing itself as one of the most exciting ensembles in the country. Its founder is the countertenor David Bates.
La Nuova Musica is a derivation of Le Nuove Musiche, which is a treatise that Caccini wrote at the beginning of the 17th century. In it, he talks about how best to move the affections through singing. I think there are 12 solo madrigals for singer and continuo, and one continuo instrument. And I suppose it was that treatise that inspired me to set the group up, because I think through my singing work in London, there was no real awareness amongst my colleagues of the sort of subtleties and intricacies of the music of that era. We were performing it quite readily, but I thought that there was extra depth to be found in the performance. We've been going 3 years now. It's generally project-based, so the personnel changes. I've got my four core singers and four core string players and a really fine continuo group. So usually for each project I can call upon them. And we've now done a couple of projects with early brass, so I'm now developing a relationship with them. The Sinfonia Sacra that forms the base of the programme require vocal concertisten with extra ensembles called complementi choirs, which can be formed of strings or brass or voices. Ideally, in each choir, there needs to be one voice with the text, and then the other parts can be taken by the instrumentalists.
Thank you.
David weeps over his lost son, the bass James Arthur and the trombones and continuo of La Nuova Musica in that performance of Heinrich Schütz's Fili mi Absalom from his first book of Symphoniae Sacrae. Like so many young musicians of his time, Schütz travelled to Italy in the first years of the 1600s, and he learned a great deal from his studies in Venice with Giovanni Gabrieli. He had only planned to stay with the ageing maestro for just a short while, but in fact he remained in Venice for 3 years, until after Gabrieli's death. He later wrote that he had perceived the gravity and difficulty of the study of composition that I had undertaken, and rather modestly, he said that he had an unsound poor start in this. Nevertheless, Schütz returned to Saxony greatly inspired by his time with Gabrieli and intent on composing in the innovative Italianate style. Pretty quickly, he was drafted into the service of the Elector Johann Georg I in Dresden, where he put the court's many full-time instrumentalists and singers to good use by composing complex polychoral music for them, a sound that was more or less unknown in Germany at the time. His first publication, just a few years later, was a collection of psalm settings, which included this solemn work for two choirs, a setting of the words, "Is not Ephraim my dear son and my beloved child?"
Thank you.
La Nuova Musica, conducted by David Bates in that psalm setting by Heinrich Schütz, is not Ephraim, my dear son and my beloved child. It was recorded at Holy Trinity Church in Blythburgh as part of the 2010 Alborough Festival. Schütz's career now really took off at Dresden, and for more than 15 years he produced a series of large-scale masses and motets for the Elector's top-notch group of chapel musicians. By the mid-1620s, though, the Thirty Years' War was at its most devastating peak. This was one of the most destructive conflicts in European history, and it had an effect on all levels of society. Most of the countries in Europe were involved at one point or another, but the focal point for most of the fighting took place in the German lands, and Dresden was right in the thick of it. It was a disaster of major proportions. Famine and disease claimed the lives of thousands of people, and many governments virtually bankrupted themselves to pay for it all. Saxony was no exception. Very gradually, even life in the rarefied world of the Elector's court began to change. Staff were laid off, rooms were shut up, and the number of salaried musicians was severely reduced, until it became almost impossible for Schütz to compose the sort of large-scale works he was so keen on. The answer was to return to Venice. And how things had moved on since his years studying with Gabrielli. He now put himself in the hands of two of Venice's brightest musical stars, Monteverdi and Grandi. He was struck by the way they had, as he put it, partially abandoned the old church modes while seeking to charm modern ears with new titillations. Italy was on the crest of a wave of exciting new developments in music, and the open-minded Schütz once again embraced them all with gusto. I engage myself in a singular manner of composition, he wrote, namely how a comedy of diverse voices can be translated into declamatory style and be brought to the stage and enacted in song, things that, to the best of my knowledge, are still completely unknown in Germany. Well, when he returned to Dresden, Schütz now began to work on smaller-scale pieces, like the Kleine Geistliche Konzerte. These are collections of little sacred concertos for small forces, which could be comfortably performed by the ever-dwindling court ensemble that was available to him. True, the concertos may not have lived up to Schütz's own taste for the large and grandiose, but as he himself noted, he published them so that the talent God granted me in so noble an art might not wholly stagnate, but rather create and bring forth even the smallest something. We're going to hear four of the Kleine Geistliche Konzerte now. And although, as we've heard, Schütz seems to have been rather apologetic about how economical they were, there's no less mastery or value in this wonderful music. The set begins with O Jesu Nomen Dulce, sung here by the tenor Simon Wall.
Quid enim canitur suo? noch nie gesehen, den Gerechten verlassen.
Und hab noch nie gesehen, den Gerechten verlassen. Oder seinen Samen nach Brot gehen. Und hab noch nie,
und hab noch nie,
und hab noch nie,
und noch nie
gesehen, den Gerechten verlassen.
Samen nach Brot gehen.
Oder Salmen
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. La Nuova Musica, conducted by David Bates in four pieces from Heinrich Schütz's collection of Kleine Geistliche Konzerte, written in the late 1630s. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and we're hearing highlights of a concert today recorded at the Holy Trinity Church in Blythburgh as part of the 2010 Alborough Festival. When Schütz had composed his first set of Sacrae Symphoniae, or Sacred Symphonies, he'd only just returned from his second trip to Venice, and his style was still hugely influenced by the very newest Italian sound. By the time he published his second collection, though, in 1647, he was an old-timer, 62 years old, loyal to the Dresden court and very settled in his own compositional style. And this next piece comes from that later collection. It's a setting of the words, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," written for solo voice, pairs of violins, cornets, trombones and recorders. The soprano here is Anna Dennis.
Gewaltigen vom Stuhl und erhöht, und erhöht, und erhöht die Elenden, und erhöht, und erhöht, und erhöht die Elenden. Die Hungrigen
Soprano Anna Dennis with the musicians of La Nuova Musica, conducted by David Bates, with a piece from Schütz's second collection of Symphoniae Sacrae, performed at the Holy Trinity Church in Blythburgh. Well, we've almost come to the end of today's programme, but before we finish, let's hear the last piece that La Nuova Musica performed at their Alborough Festival concert. And it's one of Schütz's most rousing compositions. It was written in 1650 to celebrate the departure from Saxony of the Swedish armies that had blighted the area during the Thirty Years' War. So the mood is understandably buoyant, a plea for peace and solace, if you like. And it represents Schütz at his most exuberant maturity, a true adopted Italian in Germany. It's from his third set of Symphoniae Sacrae, Nun Danket alla Gott, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you.
Applause there for the singers and musicians of La Nuova Musica, conducted by David Bates in that performance of Heinrich Schütz's Nun Danket alle Gott. And it was recorded last month at Holy Trinity Church in Blythburgh as part of this year's Aldborough Festival, bringing to an end today's early music show, presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Manchester by Les Pratt. Next Saturday, the programme comes live from the York Early Music Festival. Catherine Bott will be joined by guests James Bowman, Eva Giolini and Barbara Schlick. And the programme also includes highlights from Monteverdi's Vespers, given at York Minster. That's next Saturday lunchtime at the usual time, 1 o'clock.
Performance on Three presents the world premiere of a Radio 3 commission, Robert Saxton's radio opera, The Wandering Jew. BBC Symphony Orchestra and BBC Singers perform this modernist take on the tale of the shoemender condemned by Christ to roam the earth until the second coming. We follow him on his journey through history, meeting many legendary characters on the way, eventually to be reconciled with Jesus. Roderick Williams, Louise Winter and Tim Murfin star in the first ever broadcast of The Wandering Jew. Join me, Martin Handley, for Performance on Three this Friday at 7. Here on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, and next this afternoon it's over to Fiona Talkington with some more of your Radio 3 requests.
Hello. A song from Victoria de Los Angeles begins our programme this afternoon. There's a cabin boy on the deck of a ship waving a tearful goodbye to Marseille, but he's also looking forward to the kisses he'll get from all the girls on his return. Victoria de los Angeles and a song by the Catalan composer Toldrà, the song of the cabin boy, requested by John Woods. Antonio Rosmarba conducted the Patronato Orquesta Ciudad de Barcelona. A.H. Swan writes from Leighton Buzzard, "Would you please play a sublime piece which is rarely performed, perhaps because of the length of the whole work? It's the Sanctus from Beethoven's Missa Solemnis, which I haven't heard for years." We've chosen a legendary Karajan recording from the 1959 Salzburg Festival, where the performance was transferred at the very last minute to the Festspielhaus from the scheduled venue of the Felsenreitschule, which wasn't weatherproof, and thunderstorms were forecast. The soloists here are Leontine Price, Christa Ludwig, Nikolai Gedda and Nikolai Zakaria, the Singverein der Gesellschaft der Musikfreunde Wien and the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Herbert von Karajan. I rather like these words from a review of that concert by one of the Viennese critics. While we ambitious mortals are getting ready to take a look at the dark side of the moon, Beethoven's music takes us on a flight to the stars.